During the 2016 presidential election, there was a camp of people on both political sides, which was called Never Trump. Now, since they obviously failed in their mission to block Donald Trump from becoming president, they've since adjusted their efforts and now seek to take him down. While this would go against the wishes of tens of millions of voters and be a moral sin against our system of liberty, they're provoked by their egos and political desires to commit this plot against the president of the United States. Up until now, the roots of this plot and the means it's been committed by have been hidden from you. That's all changed thanks to the work of my next guest, who has dug up the facts and in his new book, names the names and shares the details. His book is All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump. While being a best-selling author numerous times, he's also the former foreign editor of Newsweek, former editor-in-chief of the New York Times Magazine, and contributing editor with Vanity Fair, Edward Klein. How are you today, Edward?
I'm great, Chris. Thank you for having me on your show.
EdwardKlein.com. And to get more info about All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump, and Ed's other books, and as you know from the past, he speaks the truth, and if anyone ever tries to take him down, he's still standing. The others are going away. When you look at, as I said in the introduction, you got both sides really having the president in the crosshairs. Who does more damage to the country via their anti-Trump stand? Is it the liberal side or the Republican side?
Well, I don't think there's any question that it is not only the liberal side, but it's the liberal donors, the billionaires, the millionaires who are pouring tens of thousands and millions of dollars into the so-called resistance movement against Donald Trump and are actually supporting the violent groups on the left called Antifa and other groups. That in my book, All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump, I talk about an FBI report that connects, this FBI report connects these left-wing anarchist violent groups with ISIS, the Islamic State, and Al-Qaeda. And this is based on FBI infiltration of these groups in Europe and other places.
Compare and contrast the activity of this plot, and that's the proper word for it, because so much of it was clandestine and kept among the few people. Compare and contrast the leading up to inauguration to the post-inauguration, to its level of intensity, the desperation of its actions.
Well, leading up to the inauguration, we're talking about now between the time Donald Trump was elected president on November 6th and his inauguration on January 20th. And during that period of time, Barack Obama lowered the level of intelligence gathering so that Donald Trump's aides and advisors in his campaign who were caught inadvertently in intercepts by the National Security Agency could be released to the intelligence community widely and then leaked to the press. So we had, in those several weeks, the beginning of the plot against Donald Trump that was actually started in the Obama White House.
And when you look at, I mean, the reader will go all through your book, All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump, and see names that they are familiar with, even the casual observer. Well, who do you think is the one unknown person or actor that you've finally given the light they deserve for the actions that they've perpetrated?
Well, that's a very good question, an unknown actor. There's a guy named, and I think some of your listeners would have heard of his name, Tom Steyer, who is what Ronald Reagan would call a tree-hugging environmentalist.
Well, we certainly know him now through that TV commercial. He's got calling for the impeachment.
That's right. And he's spending $10 million on a commercial to get Donald Trump impeached. On what grounds, it is not at all clear to me, since I don't think anything Donald Trump has done is impeachable, and especially not impeachable when he has a Republican House of Representatives and a House and a Senate. But leave no doubt about it. Have no doubt about it. If the Democrats win, and this is part of the reason I wrote this book, if the Democrats win the midterm elections and get control of the House of Representatives, among their very first acts are going to be to try to impeach Donald Trump. And at that point, I think we're going to reach a possible constitutional crisis in this country.
Well, I think I know why Steyer's doing what he's doing, because Donald Trump's a threat to his to Steyer's cash cow out of green energy, basically.
That's right.
As far as entitlements and federal funding, you know, much like Elon Musk and his disaster that's becoming Tesla.
You notice, for instance, in this new tax plan that the Republicans unveiled yesterday, that the $7,500 deduction for people who buy electric cars has been eliminated. That will be a huge blow, not only to Tesla, but to a lot of the car manufacturers who are trying to switch over to electric cars.
Talking with Edward Klein, his new book, All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump. EdwardKlein.com is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Who is more of a disappointment to the rank-and-file anti-Trumpers for their, maybe in their minds at least, lack of participation in this effort, the absence of Barack Obama or Bill Clinton?
Oh, certainly the absence of Barack Obama. Excuse me. There has been a huge effort on the part of the Democratic establishment to get Barack Obama involved in setting up a shadow government in his new home in the Kalorama section of Washington, just blocks away from the White House, where he and Michelle Obama and Valerie Jarrett live in this huge mansion that they bought for about $8 million. And Barack Obama has been urged again and again and again to lead the resistance movement, and he has not only refused to do so, even at the urging of his wife and Valerie Jarrett, his advisor. But according to a very close source of the Obama family that I have in this book, he's been playing video games like he's an adolescent, talking on the phone to his celebrity pals, and smoking marijuana and popping cannabis-infused gummy bears. Now, it should be noted that in Washington, D.C., it is legal to have recreational marijuana. But we're talking about an ex-president who's become a kind of stoner ex-president, and gone back to his days in Hawaii when he was a member of the Chum Gang, if you recall, and smoked marijuana.
And we keep seeing, of course, Hillary's never going away. I mean, we've just come to that conclusion, like it or not. But as you write about in All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump, there's still, I guess there was no sympathy for Hillary from Bill. It seems like there's still a canyon between those two.
Well, you know, when Hillary wrote her book that she's still on a book tour about called What Happened, she gave the manuscript before she sent it to the publisher, to Bill, to look at. And he started editing it with a red pencil. And the more he read, I'm told by sources who were there and talked to the Clintons, the more he disliked it. And he told her that she should completely rewrite the book, because the book was just a whining complaint about everybody who was responsible for her loss except herself, and that she should take a higher road. She refused, and he and she had a big, big argument about this, and he took this manuscript that she had given him and threw it in his waste paper basket.
Well, he should be used to that treatment after the treatment he got from her and her minions during the campaign, where Bill was basically ignored any advice he had to give to them at that point, too.
That's right. He went to her with his own private polling before the election and told her she was going to lose. She thought he was, to use her words, an old fool who didn't understand the modern digital analytic kind of campaigning that has replaced on-the-ground campaigning. And he told her that, according to his polls, she was in big trouble in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and she told him he didn't know what he was talking about, and they had a huge fight, and she ignored him, and of course he was right, as usual, because he's a very, putting aside his policies and what you think about his policies, he's a very smart politician.
Well, smart enough to know that he worked with Newt Gingrich to do everything they did back in 96 after the Democrats got their hat handed to them. But just to wrap things up on the focus on President Trump, is the anti-Trump movement just neglecting the fact, and you've spent time with Trump at various points in his life, going back to 20, 30 years even, Trump's had to withstand, overcome so much in the past. Does Trump have almost a sense of invincibility? All this is being thrown at him, and he just feels he has a suit of armor on?
I don't think so. I'll tell you why. I spoke to Trump during the campaign. I traveled with him during the campaign. He wasn't utterly confident he was going to win. He knew that there it was a possibility that he could lose. So he's not, you know, he's not delusional. He's a very realistic businessman. And but on the other hand, he's also a guy who, when he's attacked, as you know, he doesn't just allow that attack to happen. He attacks back very, very harshly, and it has worked for him. I asked him once why he continued to do these somewhat outrageous tweets, and he said, if it weren't for the way I tweet and the way I behave, I wouldn't have gotten to be president of the United States, and I'm going to continue to do this, and he will.
Well, it's called connecting with the audience. It's how you succeed as a politician, author, radio, every point in life, really. And the president just seems to understand it better than his detractors and opponents seem to do. These are just some of the insights and revelations that Ed presents in All Out War, the plot to destroy Trump. What he does, like always, Ed brings you the truth, brings you the facts that way too many people don't want you to know, but Ed empowers you to know the truth. Learn more at edwardkline.com. Edward, always an education. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Chris.